Hi there, and welcome to the HVAC SEO PPC podcast. My name is William Payne, and I'm the president of HVAC SEO PPC. We're a digital agency that specializes in helping HVAC companies grow by getting their digital marketing and branding right. And when I say right, I mean making it so that you are the top of mind awareness in your geographic area when people are about to make a decision on hiring an HVAC company. And also making sure that the type of business you're attracting through these efforts are the most profitable jobs. We do this through a combination of traditional branding, digital strategies including SEO, pay-per-click, display, social, and Google Business Profiles. This is the first episode of this podcast, and I want to start with the basics on this. Having helped many HVAC companies in these areas, I decided to write a book on the subject. It's called the HVAC Marketing Roadmap, and we're going to start out by breaking that book down chapter by chapter. I can promise the practices I talk about in this book are proven to generate results for real HVAC owners just like you. So let's jump right in. So a lot of the information that's out there online concerning local business marketing deals with digital marketing, pay-per-click, search engine optimization, social, Google Maps, like I said. A lot of it misses a critical part of that, which is a very important part of just human psychology, which is branding. And if you get your branding right, it can really, really make all that other stuff work a lot better. So we're going to start this off by talking about brand. And what is your brand? If you think about being on a trade show floor and a salesperson walks up to you, everything from their haircut to their shoes to their clothes to the way they talk to you, that's all them presenting their brand to you. And your business is exactly the same way. The logo, the colors, the vehicles are the primary parts of your brand that we're going to talk about. There's other stuff, how you answer the phone, are your CSRs answering the phone with a smile, being professional, being polite. That's all part of the brand as well. But for the purposes of this podcast at this point, we're just going to talk about the visual part of the brand, which is the logo, the colors, and the vehicles. So a lot of people think that the logo is the brand, and it is a main component of the brand, but it is not the brand itself. It's sort of the face of the brand. So what are the critical parts of a logo? Well, one of the things is shape. A memorable shape is a really, really important part of the logo. And to make an example of how hardwired people are to remember shapes, I want you to imagine walking into a room of people, you know, sitting at their desks or whatever, and lobbing a rubber ball to somebody. And before they have had time to really even think about what is going on, they are going to be positioning themselves to catch that ball. That's because people are absolutely hardwired to recognize that shape, and they know what it is, and they're going to react appropriately to what's going on before their conscious brain has had any time to think about it. Conversely, if you did the same thing, but instead of a ball, it was a rubber snake, before they really even had time to process why is somebody throwing a rubber snake at me, they are going to be getting out of the way of that thing. It's just human nature. So I'm not saying to make your logo a ball or a snake, but you can leverage that hardwired tendency of people to make your logo a little bit more memorable. Basically, don't, if you can, and I know it is a huge pain to change your logo, so don't feel like you have to do this, but if you're at the outset, try to have something that's slightly more memorable than a rectangle. If you look around town, there's so many trucks that are going by with just a rectangle on the side, and they all blend into each other. So if you can have something, just any part of your logo that stands out, whether there's a little circle as a part of it, or you've got a little character that's in there, any of those things, like one of our customers has a little leaf as their part of their logo, which has eyes and a happy little demeanor. Those are really great things to have as a part of your logo if you can, because it helps people recognize you in traffic, out and about when they're busy. If you can get them to just stop for a fraction of a second and have a moment where they say, "Hey, I know that shape. I know that brand. I know that company." That is your way of branding them, to sort of put a seed in their brain. And so, if we take that and transfer it to digital, there are studies that show that people are 80% more likely to click on a link in a search engine results page for a brand that they recognize. So they'll scroll down several links to find a brand that they are familiar with, whether or not they've done business with them before, 80% more likely to click on a brand that they recognize. So that's why we say, you know, think about your brand. How is it out there in the marketplace? Is it consistent? You know, is it standing out from every other, you know, service truck that's riding around in your town? If you can do that, that is a great way to increase the effectiveness of your digital. So that brings us to color. Just like shape, people are sort of hardwired to associate certain colors with certain things. So if you think about restaurant logos for, say, McDonald's and Burger King and you know, KFC, particularly fast food, but really, you know, any of the major franchise or chains of restaurants, their logos are almost always red, green, orange, and yellow. That is because those are food colors. If you walk into the produce department of your grocery store, those are the colors that you're going to see in produce. If you walk into the if you walk into the meat section, the butcher, you're going to see those same colors. People have been conditioned to recognize or to make assumptions about what a business is based on what colors they are. So in the HVAC marketplace, the good colors, if you're in the South, I'm in Florida, obviously blue. Not only does it convey coolness, it also conveys trustworthiness, reliability. So that's a really good color. People are conditioned to associate blue with those things. Orange and red are good as well. Particularly if you're in the North, where most of this stuff is going to be heat related most of the year. I would generally try to go a little bit more toward orange as a general rule, just because it's a little bit softer color than red. Red can be a little bit aggressive and it can be a little bit contrasty with blue. So, you know, you just want to stay away from purple, brown, you know, that kind of stuff. They're not associated with anything HVAC related. And so that brings us to the sort of the next thing. You've got the good shape and color combination of the logo. It's a slightly memorable shape and it's got a color combination that's appropriate to the HVAC industry. That can play on something that's called frequency bias. And it's a complicated sort of term, but everybody's experienced it. If you've ever bought a new car and you started recognizing that car all over town and you started seeing it everywhere, that is a perfect example of frequency bias. There are not more versions of that car than there were before you bought it. There's just you're tuned in to see that car now. And so you're going to be more likely to pick it out of traffic. That's exactly what the color shape combination of the logo is starting to do. It makes your vehicles or any of your other advertising slightly more memorable. And it makes it such that people are going to see it. And because they are picking it out and identifying it more often, that is going to make them feel like you are bigger and more reliable than somebody that they don't recognize as much. That may or may not be true, but the fact is it is 100% the way the human brain works. If they see you more often, they are going to associate you with a more successful and reliable company. So why not take advantage of that? Those two things are a great first step into achieving that frequency bias that is going to make all of your other digital efforts way more affordable, way more effective. Remember, 80% more likely people are to click on a brand that they recognize in digital results, which there's a ton of competition. So why not take advantage of that? So that brings us to the vehicle. One of the best values but most poorly utilized opportunities that HVAC companies have in building awareness of their brand and their geographic is their vehicles. And on the face of it, it makes sense. You just spend a bunch of money on the vehicle and you want to save as much money as possible on the graphics. You know, why spend a few thousand dollars on a wrap when you can spend a few hundred on, you know, cut vinyl and just slap it on the side and off you go? You can look at the local power company or the cable company as examples of this, but they really aren't a one-to-one with your typical HVAC company in a local market, because they are either, you know, the only game in town, or they're spending a ton of money for other branding. You know, they're doing billboards, they're doing television, they're doing radio. There's all this other stuff that they're doing to reinforce their brand in the marketplace They don't have to do it with their vehicles. They just have to identify their vehicles as a form of legitimacy when it pulls up in front of somebody's house. HVAC companies are different. You know, most HVAC companies are not doing that other stuff. They're not doing a lot of television. They're not doing a lot of radio. They're not doing a lot of outdoor. And let's use outdoor as an example. So if you think about getting a single billboard on one of the busier streets in your city, that thing could cost you $30,000 to $70,000 a year. If you compare that to a wrapped vehicle of, say, $3,500, that is a huge, huge difference. That's not to say you have to wrap them. We're going to get back to that in a second. And it is true that if you have the good logo / color combination, you can just kind of put it on a white vehicle and it can work. We have clients that have done that and it does work for them. But they do have that great logo with an interesting shape that's memorable and good, you know, a good color combination. But the most successful clients that we've seen over the years are clients that also use a unique color for their vehicles. So this again plays into the frequency bias that we talked about, that it just kind of stops people briefly in their tracks and they recognize it. So let's talk about what that color should be. I often give this as a presentation to local business groups and chambers of commerce and things like that. And in one case, it was here locally in my town, and I was talking about painting the trucks a unique color, which actually can be quite affordable. If you've got a truck that you can paint for a few $100 and then put cut vinyl on it, that can even be a better way to reduce the cost. One of the larger HVAC companies here in our area does that. They have a local painting company that they just trot the trucks down as soon as they get them, you know, in the fleet, and they paint them yellow, and then they go to their sign guy, they get the cut vinyl, and they do the whole thing for a fraction of what a wrap would cost. And they're very successful. But the color of the vehicle is key. What you don't want is a standard color from GM or Ford or Chevy. You want something that's a little bit different. So you're going to be the only guy in town with that vehicle. In the case that I'm using this example, they have a yellow for theirs, which is an unusual yellow. I wouldn't call it ugly, but I don't think anybody is ever going to paint their car this color, and certainly none of the manufacturers are using that color. So when you see this truck, you 100% know. And to get back to that presentation I was making locally, I gave this same talk, and one of the people in the area was not an HVAC, or in the meeting was not an HVAC company. They were home services company. And the very next, within a month, he had all of his vehicles painted. It was a classic GM blue, and he had the big cut vinyl on the side. And he really missed the point, because those trucks do not stand out in traffic. They are exactly the same color as a million other trucks that are on the road. And they just blend right in. Whereas the yellow trucks that the big HVAC company is using, they stand out. If I just put a yellow swatch on the screen in our local area, people will immediately identify it with that company, because it is unique to their brand. In their case, they do have 343 vehicles on the street, and so they do have probably the most in our geographic, because we're not a huge geographic area. But they didn't start there, but they did start with the yellow. In their original iteration of their logo, they had a little bear roasting marshmallows or a hot dog or something over a fire, and that plays exactly into that recognition that you want. And that was what they did. That was the route that they took to go from one truck, four trucks, five trucks to, you know, 300 plus trucks with scissor lifts and cranes and everything else. That brand was a critical part. Leveraging the frequency bias, leveraging the fact that people recognize them and it would make them more likely to pick them out in the yellow pages back then, that was what they used, and it was very successful for them. And it's that formula has not changed, even though it's not the yellow pages anymore, it's digital. The formula is based on the human brain, and that has not changed. It's not changed at all. You can still leverage those same things: the frequency bias, recognition bias, to get people to be comfortable with your brand and to recognize it in search results, which again is what we're talking about, and making them way more likely to click on your link, and that saves you money and it makes your advertising more effective. So you've got the uniquely colored vehicle. You've got the, you know, you've got the logo with the shape and the color, or even just the logo that you have. If it doesn't have that stuff, you know, the vehicle color can will definitely make a difference in you know, getting that brand recognition. But what about the bullets that you put on the vehicle? How many, you know, do you need to put from soup to nuts, you know, that you do heating and repair, heating service, you know, AC repair, AC service, AC installation. You really don't have to do that. You want to keep the trucks pretty clean if possible. People have an understanding of what air conditioning and heating is. They're going to assume that you do all of the stuff that goes along with that: service, repair, installation, mini splits. They're going to be able to know just from you saying air conditioning and heating. If you do anything else that's really unusual, like some of our clients do also do propane, for instance, or whole home generators, or plumbing, or electrical, obviously put that stuff on there as well. Stuff that's outside, any of services that are outside of the particular umbrella of HVAC. If you do that, go ahead and put them on there. But don't bullet list every single service that you do, because it just clutters the brand and it makes it less likely that you're going to stand out in an already really kind of cluttered environment, which is, you know, the streets when you're driving around, because there's just constant information coming at you. So you want the truck to be a unique color, pretty clean design. Definitely put what you do on there. Make sure your phone number is big enough that somebody can read it, and that it's above the, you know, you don't want it down by the wheel well so nobody can see it. You want to have it up higher to where people looking across can see you. Not that they're necessarily going to pick up the phone right then and call you, but it's just a good practice. You know, they're probably going to Google you afterwards, but you don't want to have them have to search out for your phone number. Put your URL on there. You know, hopefully it's not super long, and you know, that's pretty much it. Just an overview of what the company does, a nice legible phone number, and, you know, a URL, and that should do it, along with the memorable color and the you know, and the nice looking logo. So here's a quick case study on the benefits of this. One of our companies they purchased a box truck. And we had done some outdoor advertising for them. And in our area, there's a really nice road that's residential that runs along the Intercoastal Waterway. And it does not have any billboards on it, thankfully, because, you know, it would ruin the view of the Intercoastal, which is why everybody drives down the road to begin with and why the people live there. And if you were to put a billboard on there, your company would absolutely be hated in town. You know, they would probably set it on fire. But, you know, this HVAC client that we have, they took that outdoor advertising and we put it on the sides of the box truck. It's identical to the billboards that they have around town. And they know, they've instructed their drivers when they are out on a service job to park that truck in such a way that it essentially creates a billboard for them on the road. And their guys are good about doing that. And so for the period of an entire day, with tens of thousands of cars driving by their you know, the home where they're performing service, they get a free billboard. And that has a tremendous amount of value, because it's a higher income area. People associate the higher income with quality. And so they're getting a billboard where nobody else has a billboard in our local area. And it was the cost of wrapping a truck for that. It was a bigger one, so it was probably $7,000 or $8,000. But how much is it paid back when compared to the value of having a billboard in locations that you can't have them? Another example of this is one of the more successful home service companies here in town. They do commercial and residential electric. That's all they do. He's just an electrician. And he got a contract for a big car wash here in town. First thing he did was take one of his trucks out of service. It has a nice looking wrap on it. It's super memorable. It's all covered with lightning bolts and you know, it's really, really interesting and noticeable color. He took that truck and took it out of service and put it in front of that thing. He got it cleared with the contractor and with the owner of the facility first. They both were fine with it. And it was on a major state road that comes in and out of our town that doesn't really have a whole lot of outdoor advertising on it. And he got himself a billboard on that road for I'm going to say that almost a year, that truck. I would look at it because it's right in front of my office, and I would look at it when I was coming and going, looking at the tires to see if they were running out of air. I think somebody must have been coming and taking care of it, or maybe they'd switch it out once in a while. But I saw him out at lunch one day, and the owner, and I specifically stopped and asked him. I said, "Mike, is the reason that you did that because you were going to get free advertising?" And he said, "Absolutely is why I did it." He said, like I said, he cleared it with everybody that was involved in the project. Everybody was okay with it. So you had 5 or 6 contractor trucks on any given day at that facility. And every single one of them was white with a rectangular logo and a tiny little phone number. Did not stand out at all. And it was a very high profile project. And he was the only one that leveraged it, stuck the truck out in front of the building, and made sure everybody knew that his company was the company that was doing the electric and this really high-profile project in town. And that is such a great way to advertise your business and to generate that brand recognition, frequency bias, all of the stuff that adds up to making your digital marketing more affordable and more effective in your geographic area. So in closing, let's just summarize everything that we've kind of talked about here. So the branding is more than a logo. It's also how your trucks look, your message, your employees' appearance, even how your employees drive can affect positively or negatively on your brand. You can't control all of it. The parts you can control, though, should be given as much attention as possible to make sure they reflect well on you. Just like the clothing you'd wear to a job interview, that's the brand that your business wears out in the community. So that's the sort of big picture of branding. The logo should be a memorable shape if at all possible. One of the things that I didn't mention earlier, but if you do have a rectangular logo and you're getting ready to put, you know, cut vinyl on the truck, you know, consider making it bigger than it normally would sort of traditionally be. You might consider putting it at an angle or something like that. Just try to make it stand out in some way. Just like a rubber ball and a rubber snake are instantly recognizable, leverage the human desire to recognize shape and let that be an advantage to help you become recognizable in your marketplace and to help your digital branding. Your corporate colors should probably contain at least some blue. It's not only appropriate for cool air, it's a color that signifies reliability. True blue is not just an expression, it's the way we're hardwired. So, if for right now, for instance, your company brand doesn't have any blue in it, that's okay. Consider maybe, you know, the next time you get shirts for your techs or something, consider putting blue as a part of the uniform. And finally, the vehicles, if at all possible, they should be an unusual color. It doesn't have to be ugly. It just has to stand out a little. And under no circumstances should it be a factory color from one of the major auto manufacturers. You know, make sure the logo is big enough and easily legible from across an intersection. And just remember, the point is to get people to stop and notice your vehicle. Just that moment of recognition will plant the brand in their mind. And when they see you in Google Business Profiles, when they see you in a search engine results page, they are going to be more likely to click on you, much more likely. Studies have shown 80% more likely to click on you. That means that you can basically outcompete your competitors, not on buying the top position in paid results, for instance, but by leveraging it so that people skip right over them and they click on you, you know, 2 or 3 down the page. And that's the value of all of this stuff. And then finally, if it's in the budget, if you compare the value of a wrap to the cost of a billboard, while they seem expensive, they're actually a very good value considering that the truck is going to be on the road for 3 years and you only have to pay for the wrap one time. And, if you look at it that way, it can make the decision to do it a lot easier to make. So that just wraps up the inaugural episode of the HVAC SEO PPC podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this all the way through to the end. We're gonna continue on with the HVAC marketing roadmap book, and we're gonna just kind of check it off chapter by chapter. The next stuff that's coming up is search marketing and Google Business Profile, organic versus paid search and keywords, and some key takeaways from that. Other things that we're going to touch on throughout this will be display advertising, what to do with your Google Business Profile, sort of critical best practices with that, what to do with your reviews, how to get them, what to do if you get a good one or a bad one, and when you can ignore a bad review. There are circumstances where you can probably just ignore it. Then we get to the website. Eventually we're going to get around to that because there are critical parts to make the website more likely to convert. And when I say convert, it basically is going to turn a visitor into a phone call or a form fill or, you know, a chat, a request for business in some way. Social media is something we're going to touch on. And then email and text marketing are some other stuff along with SMS marketing. So that is the roadmap in front of us. It has been a very successful system that we've used with multiple HVAC clients over the last decade. And it has helped them grow, sometimes doubling, tripling their business just from implementing this system, leveraging the traditional branding along with digital marketing in order to make yourself top of mind awareness in your geographic area. So if you have an HVAC company and you are trying to grow it, keep listening, because this is going to give you a step-by-step on how to go about doing that. And if you would like to talk to me, you can set up a strategy session and we can look at your specific case on how we can help grow your HVAC company into the next level. And we would love to do that. So you can schedule with me at HVACSEOPPC.com. That's HVACSEOPPC.com. And just go on there and look for the strategy session link. It has my schedule on there. And click and book a session and let's sit down and talk and see how we can help you grow your business. Thanks again for listening to the inaugural episode, and I'll see you next time.